session number 1063, reel 2.
Mr. Byrne, reel 2.
He said get yourself up to pictures, so we went just across down the road, not far, and went to the... It were late-ish then, went to the pay box and they were closing up. Oh, she said, don't pay, go in for nothing, you're all right, there's only four of you. So we went in and I don't think we watched the picture, I think we sat talking to the usherettes. And then we came back, went back to the doss house, if I want of a better phrase for it. And the guy said again, do you want a pie for your supper? Yes, so we had two more pies for a supper. Anyway, we went to bed, and as I said, next morning the place were full. So we went down for breakfast. I think you got toast for breakfast. And then the chief said, oh, will you do so-and-so? Will you, were the word. Do so-and-so and so-and-so, and then do this. We did, and... Oh, put your hats... Take your hats upstairs, he said. He didn't even wear a collar and tie, did they, fella? Go put your hats upstairs and put your overalls on. Keep yourself clean. Anyway, we did do. Then it came to dinner time. He said, you can go uptown if you want. So we went and had a look round Glasgow and come back. Do you want a pie? We were there about 5 days. Oh, we're getting fed up of pies at the end. But that's all they had, but you could have as many as you wanted. Anyway, he always said each day we were there... after dinner you can go ashore. They always called it ashore, even if you were going out of the building. I mean, when you're doing your training, you learnt that this is the quarter deck, this is that. When you go out the gate, you go ashore. Anyway, he said if there's nothing comes in, no instructions come on in the morning, you can go ashore in the afternoon, which we did, and went to the pitches at night and had a general look around Glasgow. I think we were there 4 days. Then he said, oh, you're going down to HMS Carrick at Greenock.
HMS Carrick.
Carrick. That was a barracks. And actually, it was an old floating hulk. It's still in Glasgow now. I saw it a few years ago. I think it's a restaurant now. It was one of these old floating hulks. Anyway, we got the train. They took us down there and down the Clyde side. Never been down there before. And we got there. Well, at least that was a ship. You walked up this gangway. And to say it was a shock when you went down below, it was. It was. I think you lived down below, and there were quite a number of ratings there. We were the youngest, us four. And they were all 26, 27. I think they'd been at sea since early in the war. And looking back now, on some of them it showed what they'd been through. I got in pretty early in the Dems when, as you might say, the mass production rating started coming out, and you slept in on the gun deck, upper deck if you wanted, where the guns were, slung your hammock there. Well, in training you slept in bunks, in Glasgow you'd slept in camp beds. This is the first time I'd put a hammock up. They never even showed you how to put a hammock up in the Navy. I don't know how they expected you to do it. Well, I got mine with a big sag in it, and there was this old guy on the gangway, and he said, if you sleep in that, boy, you'll be in a bad way. And so he put my hammock up for me, but there were only one trouble. The rail were high up, and I'm only small. And so I jump up to get up to the rail, and then do a physical jerks to get in. It was like some sort of a cowboy effort, because I didn't get right in and I came out again. I was lucky I didn't break my neck or something. But anyway, after a couple of times I got in. And during the day you had to do all sorts of stuff. And one of the first days I was there, we had to go get some ammunition out of an ammunition barge. And the old tool badge rating that were in charge, they were scared out of his life getting these half a dozen rounds out that somebody had fired out of this ammunition barge. Anyway, we never took it serious, and back to ship, more scrubbing, washing up, doing this. And then I developed a cough, and the fella on the gangway next morning said, I don't know how long this cough had been coming on, you should go to the sick bay and report sick, you coughed all the night. And my relief has told me that you'd coughed. The man I relieved told me you'd coughed. So I said, oh, I'm all right. But the day after it, I got instructions off these two old guys. You must go to the sick bay. So I had to get permission, and then you walked right round the dock to a depot ship. I think it was HMS Maidstone, I'm not sure, it makes no difference, it was a destroyer depot ship. Anyway, I saw the doctor, and he examined you and said, oh, where are you? I said, I'm round at the HMS Carrick. Oh, well, he was Royal Navy, and you're going on merchant ships. Well, that was the first time I'd come to it that he was a little different to the merchant ships, to the Royal Navy on merchant ships. Oh, anyway, he gave me some cough medicine and told me to come back 3 times a day. Well, that didn't turn out bad, because after lunch or dinner, instead of having to wash up and Peggy and do all sorts of stuff, I toddled round to the sick bay, and the lad that gave me it, right, come back tonight, and then come back at supper time. I used to go round for me cough medicine. Well, a couple of days after that, there were 4 of us on this list, there was somebody going to a ship. So I thought, oh, I'm away, I was top of the list. I think it was Byrne, Cope, Evans and Massey, I forget now. Anyway, I thought, as my name was at top of the list, that we would go first two. But the fella didn't take the first two, he took the bottom two, and they went to this ship. Well, I always thought it was the Queen Victoria, because we saw it go down the river a couple of day after, and somebody said, that's the ship that your 2 mates are on. I took them to that ship, and they said it was going to New Orleans fully loaded. Well, I was green, I was every shade of green. I said, how long will it be in New Orleans? And they said, oh, they'll have a month there. Ooh, I thought, good heavens, and I'm still aboard this horrible hulk. Anyway, in later years, I found out if it was the Queen Victoria, it went down with all hands, and it went down in the Mozambique Channel, but I'm not sure whether it were or not, but we were told it wasn't, so them two went with it. So that was my first stroke of luck. But at that time, I didn't know it. But after the war, back end of the war, that I found out the Queen Victoria went, or this ship that came out of the Clyde went. Anyway, day after, they said, oh, you're going down to the tail of the bank to join a ship called the Injuna. Well, that night, this fella came to us and he said, are you Byrne? I said, yes. You're the first tripper? I said, yes. He said, I'm Kelly. Bernard Kelly, I think his name was. He said, you're going with me tomorrow. We're going to a ship. I said, oh. He said, I haven't been to sea before. I'm brand new. Oh, well. Oh. And so he said to other lad, have you been to sea? He said, no. To which he said, oh, good heavens. Or words to that effect. Anyway, he said, get yourself all ready at morning. So they told us, get ready at morning. And we were off to this ship. There were four of us. Me, Kelly, and 2 more lads. Anyway, we carry a kit bag over this gantry affair and put it in a wagon, and you drove down the road, and you landed on a quay, and they put your luggage on a lighter. And this was really about the first time that I met these here important people, you know. I'm doing this job, taking you out to that ship, and if I don't take you, the war will stop. I wish I were going with you. But if you'd have said come, they'd have, well, they would have done. Anyway, we got on this lighter and went out to the ship. There were loads of ships anchored in the Clyde, the tail of the bank, and which is it? There were big ones. Oh, there were some liners and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, this, all of a sudden it starts making for this. When we looked at this, it were rusty, it were old, it were loaded, and then they pulled up alongside it. Somebody threw a rope down and he tied up, and though the ladder, well, Kelly said, up you go, and put kit up. So we started climbing up, and up this ladder. First time I'd been up a rope ladder. Getting over the top were rather awkward, because I thought it would be tied to the rails. It was, but the rails were level with the petrol barrels. So you got over them. There were a fella stood there, he said he was the second cook, but he were leaving her. He said she's going to Russia. Well, that didn't mean nothing to me, the fact that we're going to Russia. It didn't mean a thing, because I didn't realise that it was such a bad run. I'd never heard of it. He said it would go to Murmansk. So one of the other lads, when they got up, said, where's Murmansk? Well, I did know my geography. I did know where Murmansk was. Anyway, when Kelly came up, he said, where's it going, Titch? I said, Murmansk. Good heavens, it's cold, he said. That'll be cold. Be a bad run. Well, he went to see the skipper. We were still on the deck. He said, I live midships. You three live aft. Anyway, they took us down onto the poop, quarter deck on a Royal Navy ship, the poop, and you went down a hole in the deck, about 2 foot square, or 18 inch by 2 foot, and down a ladder, a wooden ladder, onto a sloping hatch cover, and then down that about 2 foot, and you turned into this room. Well, the room was square. It was two bunks, a width of a bunk long, and two bunks and a door wide. A bunk's about 6 foot, so that's 14 foot long, and there was 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, there was room for 12 in it. There were a coal stove at middle of floor, two very small cupboards, not as big as a kitchen cupboard, a larder cupboard, not as big as that, two small tables and two forms, and a drawer under each bunk. But to get in the drawer, you had to lift the form onto the bunk. And it had a composition floor which hadn't been mixed right and hadn't set right. And so when it were dry, it were like living on a bit of ash. And when it got wet, it were like living on a bit of mud. Anyway, we were looking at all this, and the gunner had put his stuff midships, and he came down. He said, how are you going on, kids? Well, he was a decent lad. And he said, hell, this is rough. So we looked at the mattress. He said, I'll tell you what I'd do, Titch, if I were you. I said, what? He said, I'd throw that mattress out there, spread your hammock mattress and your hammock under there, and sleep on that. Your bunk was literally a wooden shelf with a board up at the front so you didn't fall out. So I looked at the mattress and took his advice. For one thing, my mattress looked more appetising than the mattress that were there. And apart from that, it was somewhere to keep your hammock. So we put his stuff outside, and that was it, spread herself out. Anyway, we got ourselves settled as best we could, said to the other gunners this, that and other. They were army gunners, six maritime gunners. One were from Channel Islands, actually. And we said, where'd it come from? Well, evidently, it loaded in America. I'm not sure where. And the ship had gone from America to Iceland for passage to Russia. But going from America to Iceland, she'd got in bad weather and lost her lifeboat and had some other superficial damage. Lost some deck cargo. The deck cargo, it must have had a right lot, because it still had a good deck cargo when I joined her. And they wouldn't set off with just one lifeboat. Looking what happened later on, I don't blame them. Anyway, that's how we come to join her in the Clyde. So they said she won't go in for a day or two, and the gun lad come down after. He said, hey, Titch, get ready, we'll go ashore. So I said, fair enough. So with that, he said, come on, we'll go ashore. So we went ashore, the four of us. We went and had a walk around Greenock. Well, Greenock's closed at any time. There's nothing there. We had a couple of beers, and he said, it were dark. He said, we won't get back aboard tonight now. We'll go to find a bunk. Anyway, we went to this church. He knew his way around all this place. He went to this church. I've since been to the church. It's a beautiful church, and it was built in the 30s, and it's a listed building, actually. And for sixpence you could sleep in the crypt. It was a lovely place, not a stone place. You put your boots under, took your boots off and wrapped them in something or whatever, your jumper, and put your head on your boots so nobody pinched them, and you slept reasonable as best you could. Next morning you went back to the ship. Anyway, a couple of days later, a day later, he said, let's have a run up to Glasgow, me and you. I said, fair enough, if you want. He said, we'll go dancing in Glasgow. I wasn't a good dancer, I still am, but I enjoyed it. And so he was a good dancer. So we got the train and went up to Glasgow. I also remember thinking, oh, this is real life, is this? You're going to the big city for a night out. We got the train out of Greenock, I went up to Glasgow. I said, are we coming back tonight? No, he said, we'll get a bunk. Anyway, we went dancing. All the girls were really pleasant and sociable, and a lad come up and he said, oh, are you gunners on merchant ships? I said, I've never been to sea. He said, I've just come up from Jib, he said, and if it hadn't been for our gunners, he said, we'd have got it. He said, they kept him off. Good, he said. You're good lot, doing well. And then got chatting to another girl, and she was a nice, pleasant little thing. We danced, and I don't know where she lived or who she was, but we had a good do, and it could have go home time. And Kelly said, come on, we've got to go find a bunk. So we went to, I don't know where we went somewhere, and that was full, some mission were full. He knew his way around, as I said, so we went to St. Enoch Station, I think it was. And then there were a little office there, and man bit WVS, and they told you where hot bunks were available in town. Anyway, there was this lady there, and what I became later on, a typical WVS woman, sensible shoes, heavy skirt, and a fag out at the side of her mouth. And she said, try so and so. I said, I've been, it's full. She said, well, so and so's full, so and so's full. She said, the town's full. She said, where's your ship? He said, Greenock. It's either you find that hot station bench, kid. So she said, oh, try so and so. If it's full, come back. So we did, though. Anyway, came back, full. He said, it's going to be a cold night on the station bench. Austin. So she said, hang on. She said, I might better fit you up in a towel. She said, it was 2 shilling it cost us. It was more than missions. Anyway, she made a telephone call and she said, yes, follow me. She said, this hotel will let you have a room. It was very late then. She said, they haven't let them all. So she took us somewhere, I don't know where it was, to this private hotel. And I think it was either 1 and 6 or 2 shilling. And we got a lovely, they said, you'll have to have a double bed. We said, fair enough. So we got in this double bed. And I also remember it, there was a gas fire there. He said, hang on, well, I turned gas fire on. Somebody might have left some gas in. As I said, he did know his way about. So we asked him for a call early morning. I don't remember him calling us, but he woke me up. I slept like a log. We'd had a few drinks. I didn't drink much then. And he said, we'd better get some breakfast and get back to the ship. So we got back to the ship, I don't know what time, say middle of morning. Got a boat out to the ship. And they said, oh, she's going alongside. Anyway, I don't know what date, where I've lost track of days now. And she went alongside. I think I joined her on 27th, and we eventually sailed on 3rd. We went alongside it, I think it was James Watt Dock, Greenock. And we went ashore again. And then it was about 3 days on there, in there, 2 days in there, sir. And it come to Sunday morning. It came a Sunday morning, and I always went to church. I still go to church. And so I said to Kelly, I'm going to church. Well, he was a Catholic, but he said, she's under sailing orders. Now, it's not for me to judge whether Kelly went to church on a regular basis. I don't know. I still pray for him. Anyway, I got myself all done up ready, and everybody else said, where are you going? I said, church. I always go to church on a Sunday morning. Oh. So I walked on deck and I saw these two fellas there, and one said, Kelly said, it's under sailing orders, you know. I said, yes, but everybody says the tugs aren't coming well 2 o'clock. But if the tugs come, I said, everybody says they aren't coming well 2 o'clock. He said, if they come, you'll have considered jump ship, you'll be in trouble. I said, I'm still going to church. Anyway, I walked amidships, and there's these two fellas there. Well, they were both in dungarees, and I didn't know them from Adam. And I said, one said, where are you going, boy? I said, I'm going to church. So he said, oh, but she's under sailing orders. I said, but they said she ain't going well 2 o'clock. So one said to me, do you know who this is? I said, no. He said, it's the mate. He said, you shouldn't go ashore, boy. She's under sailing orders. I said, but I'm going to church. The church is just down the road there. You can more or less see it from here. I said, and he said, how do you know it's not going to go now? I said, but everybody says 2 o'clock. He said, but I don't, and I'm the mate. I said, but I want to go to church. Anyway, he turned to the bosun, and he said, I'm going forward, boss, out the way. So the bosun said, I hope you know what you're doing, boy. If she sails without you, you are in big trouble. Well, I didn't realise that. So I said, I'm going to church. He said, right, nip down the gangway while the mate's out the way. He said, you know, that man should stop you going down the gangway. Oh, I said, I didn't know that. Anyway, I went to church, went to Mass and Communion and came back. And I was lucky. It pulled away at 2 o'clock. And we went down to the Taylor Bank, the bank again. And I think we sailed that night about 10 o'clock. And we did 4 on and 4 off. Now, this was another thing we were training. They never ever told you what watches you'd work at sea. They never ever conditioned you for, they could have given you a couple of days a run of getting into bed for 4 hours and getting out for 4 hours. They never thought of that. 4 hours on and 4 hours off was what it meant. You'd 4 hours on deck, 4 hours down below. Down below time, you'd got to wash, change, eat, keep yourself clean. Anyway, we set off to go up to Loch Ewy, or Loch of Ewy. Now, I'd never heard of the place, but in the mess was an old school atlas, and that were marked there. We'd got the other gunners aboard by then. They'd changed the maritime gunners, and one of them was a Bradford lad, Robinson, they called him. I haven't seen him twice since. So we went up through the Minches. There was some way we couldn't go because somebody'd run aground, and it took us about 2 or 3 days to get up there. But that was my first introduction to being on watch. I was sick. It rolled. It had a silly little quick roll. They said it was coastal waters to be expected. When she got to sea, she was quite comfortable. Well, that didn't do me a lot of good. I didn't appreciate that. You just seem to get into your bed and you got out of your bed. It was the first time I'd been told that you don't strip at sea. You sleep in your pants and your jumper and your socks. I've never heard that before. You got in the hang of it. But going up there, the mate, the skipper was very nice. He came on, when he went on the bridge, he spoke to you and told you what to watch for. And the interesting part was when the mate was on, because he would say, on your starboard bow shortly, you should see so-and-so. Watch for so-and-so. And they made you to watch for aircraft. That were part of it. And as soon as you heard anything in the sky, you shouted. But the mate were very, very good, and the second mate were all right. They told you what sort of lights to watch for. And the chief mate, I don't know his name, I always wish I had done. He'd explain the lights to you and tell you what the next one was. And up to that time, I just thought, lighthouses flashed a light. But he told you how they were all different and what to look for, that the next one would have, for example, 3 quick flashes and 2 long ones and that sort of stuff. Anyway, time went by, and after about 2 or 3 days, we got up to Loch Ewy and went in through the boom, you know, the big net across the entrance, and anchored. And then the skipper came down after see us all and had a talk, and he said, what's your experience? I said, first trip, and what guns have you fired? I said, I've never fired a 4-inch. I fired 5 bullets out of each of the machine guns. Oh, when we get to sea, when we test the guns, you can have a fire. Oh, I thought, real. He said, when we get to sea, I'll ask permission to fire the 4-inch. Anyway, these guys come aboard from ashore, the important people that come aboard to see you.
What important people are those?
Oh, the shore staff always come aboard, make themselves think they're so important that if they didn't see everything were going on, the war would stop, you know, to check your guns are all right, and self-important people. Anyway, these guys come aboard to see that the guns were all right, and they said that we're going to have a test fire. So the gun lad said, I want my boys to fire them. And the officer that came aboard overruled him and told him that his petty officer would fire them. So that were another deal. I didn't get to fire the damn guns there. They just fired them into the water. The petty officer said, the gun lad said to me, you could have done that, but he knows how to do it. You'll always find these out with these people. And then it took me back to, what is it? I just thought of that then. When we were lying at in Greenock, at the tail of the bank, there were the army officer came aboard to see the maritime guys, and that was the first time I'd met them. He had 2 life jackets on. in a life jacket and a bloke life jacket, and he'd just come from the shore to climb up the ladder, and there were in the mess there were a picture, a pin-up, quite demure now by today's standards, but it was a Varga girl. Don't know whether you remember them. They were an American artist that drew girls on the swings. They were all out of proportion, right, long legs, but a pin-up. And this army guy, this army officer, he wanted to catch this off him, and he was telling the army gunners that it was not good for the morale to have that there at sea, and he would take it ashore out of their way. Well, they said it were ours, and he said to me, can I have it? I said, no, I couldn't give you it, belongs to the gun there. I said, and he just won't let me give you it. I don't know how I come to think of that, so what is it? But that was the first time I'd met these sort of people that came aboard to tell you what you'd got to do and how you'd got to do it. And truthfully, they'd never been to sea and hadn't a damn clue in their head. And then when we got to Lockyer, I saw the same thing of them as I'd seen the army man in Lockyer. The lieutenant came aboard and he inspected your guns and told you what you'd got to do and what to expect and how lucky you were that you were going to sea, and he was stuck in this godforsaken place. Later in the war, I did hear a lad say to one of them, you can go instead of me, when we were going to the invasion of France. And he soon got off the ship, did that guy. Anyway, we hung about there, and 11 o'clock one morning, there were with to-do watches, quite alright. You got to, he cut it down to one man, two men on deck during the day, and one man at night, so you got a decent sleep. And 11 o'clock one day, there was this drone, and Henkel came over, Henkel 111, I could tell that. I said, oh look, enemy. Yes, don't do anything, it's too high for us to wait, and he'll be photographing us. And then it came over at the same time, and then somebody said, oh yes, it'll comes up here and over Scapper, and just to have a look, see where everything is. That was the first time I saw an enemy plane, but we saw it each day we were there. Anyway, then they said we were sailing. We were going to Iceland.
What did you have on board?
All general war cargo. The deck was all drums of aviation spirit. And one of the points was with that, the rims, as you know, these big drums have a rim on, and they put planks over the drums for you to walk. But when we got further north then, and the weather got bad, the planks, well, the pathway from walking over them, they just got washed overboard. The drums were level with the